Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. All right. There's a couple of questions that I get asked kind of regularly. And many questions, as those of you who've been here for a while know. If you're new, by the way, welcome. Thank you for being here. I hope you're in good health and secure. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. So there's two questions that I've got on this Q&A that are somewhat cyclical, repetitive. And I realize that's because of, as I was about to say, a lot of times if I've already talked about this or described in detail something you ask about, I can refer you to a previous video. I kind of do the search for you. There's a lot of videos on this channel, so I understand it's not always easy. But there is a search for this channel, not all of YouTube, that's in the middle of the home page for this channel, right? The little magnifying glass. At any rate, I don't know, even though I've talked about it before, if I've done a specific video about these. And again, this is a Q&A, so you could argue, well, this isn't a specific video either, but it'll be something I can link to answer this question. Although, something I've been in the habit of doing, because long before I had this video channel, I did everything on my website, a static HTTP simple website, right? And there's a core study materials page there with like 100 links for typical questions. And it's the perfect place to put something concise on as a document that you can go to refer to very easily. So in that regard, one of the questions that I get repeatedly is what should be in my head when I'm chanting? Right? Logical question. Especially when you get out of these organizations that tell you to chant for samsara, which is exactly the opposite of what Buddhism is about. I can't understand how that took hold. There are some explanations. After World War II, a lot of Japanese were very, destroyed. Their whole livelihoods, their histories, and history for every country is a big thing. In that respect, the United States is rather young. But still, history is important to people's identity, right? That's our samsaric way of being. So belongings gone, either destroyed or stolen or whatever. So the idea of getting back to normalcy for the Japanese after the war involved a lot of rebuilding. And when you rebuild, you don't necessarily rebuild in the sense of having something new. You kind of want to rebuild what is your identity from your past. So if people were chanting for, their old living room furniture or, their status as they were, you could understand how this got inculcated into the thinking about the practice, but it's not Buddhism, right? This is a nostalgia and a deep craving and clinging to the past. It's exactly the opposite of what we're trying to do. And organizations today still chant for a new car, chant for this, chant for that. No, that's not how to practice Buddhism. So you've heard me say this before many times. When you chant with your mandala, or any time, do as Shakyamuni taught, and Nichiren, and Tendai, and Dengyo, and, right? Chant to meet Buddha. It single-mindedly contemplate Buddha. So how do you do that? And I've been confronted with that question even recently. Because it's one thing, sometimes you answer a question and you think you've answered it, because there's no feedback. But then, I continue my practice and I get a little aha moment. I think, well, I tell people that when they chant, they need to single-mindedly meet Buddha, open their Gohanzon mind and open that eye of Buddha-ness, experience Buddha-ness. And some people get that. But I realize that some people, many people, Much like is described in depth in the Lankavatara Sutra, and I encourage you to find a copy of that and read it if you're curious about how Shakyamuni kind of deals with this problem, is our attachment to words, right? Especially today, everything's immediate gratification. So we take a false sense of knowing from just, you know, sound bites, right? You've heard that term, sound bites. Little moments of words, and then we think we know. Forgetting all the while that the words are just a tool of communication to circumlocute around an idea, a thought. The words aren't the thought. They're directional arrows. Look this way, look that way, right? And we start to understand words as just helpful tools, like a ladder to get on the roof, rather than, I have a ladder, now I'm on the roof. What? Right? So it's easy to do that with the Daimoku. And I've even said in some videos or talks, podcasts before, you know, take your time, when I savor your practice. As you chant, consider the meaning of every character. Not as words, but what they mean, right? Renge isn't the lotus flower. It's not. That's what you'll see on the internet. But it's about the spontaneous spark that enlightens. And the lotus flower is a great example as a plant that comes out of the dirt and moves its way through the water. And as it blossoms, and this is the key, as it blossoms, so too does it sprout its seeds. So it's a past, present, and future in the current moment. This is why the wonderful law of the lotus, not because it's a flower, not because it grows in a muddy swamp, not all those things. Yeah. That's the symbolism. But the meaning is renge. It's the it's the spark. It's the aha. Right? So I thought, well, if it's hard to imagine simply chanting with a mind that wants to meet Buddha, how do I do that? I thought, well, I'll make a cheat sheet for those of you who are struggling with that, okay? And what I did is on the Core Studies page, you know, the one with all these links, I added at the top there, two things, and we're going to talk about origins of TLK in a minute. But next to presence at the Butsudan, and I suggest reading that for next time you approach your altar, how you set your mind toward meeting Buddha. But right next to it is single-mindedly, and that's obviously, that word isn't used almost anywhere else in Buddhism other than contemplating Buddha. Or meeting Buddha, or however many, whether it's Shakyamuni saying it or Nichiren saying it, that is an important term, right? So when you click that link, you'll end up going to a very simple sheet, which has this on it. And I went ahead and included the early characters and their kanji. That image isn't especially wonderful, but right next to it is the script that Nichiren wrote down the middle of the mandala, and then their literal pronunciation next to them. But the important part here is the seven characters as word ideas. If your mind has to be processing, as we often do, especially today in words, right, in sound bites, think of myo as I am present. Or not myo, sorry, nam. Na, N-A, na, the first character, right? I am present. Mu, I am making happen. What are you making happen? See, that's why na, mu, two distinct characters, have a different sense, meaning, and therefore they need to be. That's why he made the two characters on the mandala, right? They're both important. One is to be present, which has a lot of charisma to it, right? I'm here. Yeah, but what are you doing here? Ah, I have a cause to make, an action to take. This is very important. You can be here all day long and just be like a tree. Means nothing. But you're going to take action. I am making happen. Now, myo. What is myo? It's potential. We don't know what it is yet. We just know it's opportunity. Right? So I'm here and about to make happen from all potential. Ho. Going to manifest. I'm going to make something. I'm going to make something from potential. Renge, in this moment and the next, right? It's instant from this moment to the next. I mean, time becomes almost irrelevant here except for its momentum. So in this statement, you recognize that as you instantiate, you manifest from potential some thing that you want to give it a trajectory. You want it to stay with you. And what is it that you want to stay with you? Buddha-ness. That's kyo. All of the teachings of the Dharma, the experience of the Dharma. Right now, I'm here. I'm going to make it happen from my potential to manifest in this moment and the next, Buddha. That is what the Daimoku is saying. This, I call it an invocation, and I think by calling it an invocation, I'm basically saying all of this. But what if you missed it? What if maybe this is just a step you need to take when you're chanting that helps you get your mind around the idea of your instantiating right now Buddha-ness. This is the teaching of the Lotus, yes? This is the method for self-realization. So if you need it, use it. It's I call it a cheat sheet because once you learn how to get your mindset to that, you won't need it anymore. You'll just do it, yeah? But I thought, well, maybe I need to put that out there. And as I showed you, it is on the Core Studies page, Core Studies material on threefoldlotus.com, right? And a lot more. I'm just showing the top of the sheet here, obviously. All right. So, enough on that. Okay, so sorry about that. Back to threefoldlotus.com. This is the home page there. You will, if you go to the Core Studies material, end up here, right? And if you click on Origins of TLK, you will have this page appear. And for those of you who are curious, again, we're so trained in our cultures all over the world to kowtow to organizations or institutions. And, you know, there's an inherent problem in that. It's authoritarian and we don't even know we're doing it. But there's some, base security in human beings that says we whether we admit it or not, we like to be told what to do. And so I'm not going to leave this up on the screen because I don't think it's even legible. So I'm just going to read it to you so that I don't miss anything. And, you know, we could talk for hours on this, but I wanted to capture very simply how the Threefold Lotus Kwun, this Kwun meaning sacred place of practice and learning and study, right, or school, okay? And the moniker that I chose for this endeavor was Quantum Life Buddhism. And so I'm going to explain all that in that very brief letter so that I can give you this link. If anyone in the future asks, you'll have this quick reference. And I talk about it in some videos, so it's not like it's new information. Right now, at this point in time, there's a lot of independent, I don't know if you're aware of this, Nichiren schools of Buddhism. And what I'm identifying in this letter is that if you were there, if you're my age, or if you're younger, you may not know about it, in the 80s, and even before, it happened in the 60s, and earlier in the 90s, the 1980s and earlier in the early 90s, there was yes, another series of shakeups and controversies in the Buddhist community regarding egos, excommunications, financial questions, power, politics, all of it. It's ugliness. And it's ugliness that really is uncomfortable in the auspices of our Buddhist practice. Because everything we study in Buddhism wants to eschew all of that. That's in the way, that's our samsaric obstacles to enlightenment. So why, in the midst of a sect, at the time Nichiren Shoshu and the International Organization of Daisaku Ikeda and his lay organization that was just growing and growing, making tons of money, and the priesthood and the secular organization that Daisaku ran, and all of, I mean, these are huge, this is a huge corporation, is what it is. And then the priesthood vying, you know, you get out, your ego's getting in the way, you're not practicing the way we tell you, we did, and you know, entire huge buildings were torn down in spite of donations and all that. It's just so ugly. It's like divorcing parents, right? So I'm not going to get into who's right, who's wrong. My point is, you know, as a child, as a practitioner, who's practicing Buddhism, Nichiren telling us constantly, single-mindedly, meet Buddha, right? Don't be caught up in the vicissitudes of samsara, right? It was deeply troubling. And, you know, and there, I mean, you're talking about millions of, quote, members. Not sure about that word. Never felt comfortable. I was a temple member, or temple, a follower, a practitioner within the temple, the first one built outside of Japan in Iwata. But to me, this whole organization, of Daisaku Ikeda's, whether it was NSA or SGI or whatever it's called, wherever you are, it was problematic at very least. The people, that was fun, that was nice, but the directives, it just seemed sometimes very contradictory. So all of that, I don't want to get into that whole mess and judge again who's right and wrong. The result of it was a lot of orphans. Remember my divorce thing? Well, nobody got custody of some, you know, there was custody. People went the way they wanted to be told what to do, but a lot of people just went, you know, I'm kind of fed up with this, because it wasn't the first time. This had happened repeatedly. And you didn't have to be a member of Nichiren Shoshu or whatever Daisaku Ikeda's organizations were called to know about this, because so many people were affected. Many sects of Buddhism who practiced differently, Nichiren Buddhism, and outside of, well, it's not Nichiren Buddhism, but you know what I'm saying, or outside, other, you know, Theravadists and so on and so forth, they all heard about it. It was in the papers. It was such a big blow up. And what spawned of that is a lot of independent thinkers who thought, you know, I've been practicing this for a while. And those are the people mainly. New people didn't know what to do. But people who had been practicing for a while thought, well, you know, Nichiren tells us to emulate him, be like him. Well, Nichiren didn't belong to any group. And he wasn't trying to create a group. He was just trying to do as Shakyamuni said. Just look at what Shakyamuni taught and do that and tell people about it. And if they're making mistakes and you don't say anything, you're complicit in their mistakes. So you need to correct other Buddhists, right? So let me go on here. This is the history of man. Due to the widespread of Buddhism at this time, several devoted practitioners fed up with the politic and infighting took the courageous steps to deepen their scholarship and do as Nichiren exhorted his students to do, that is, to emulate his own course as independent scholarship in order to study, read, recite, copy, and inculcate the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha as read, without the manipulations of the politics and personal agendas of the day, just strict adherence to the teachings of Shakyamuni. And so up sprang these individuals. Some wrote books, some just started a group of their own. Some, there's even some that separated into different cultures. You know, there's a black Buddhist Nichiren organization. To me, that's a little bit contradictory also, but everyone's got to start somewhere, right? Since that time, many independent individuals and groups have borne out the path of the Bodhisattva practice in the footsteps of Nichiren, some more insightful than others, but spreading to the best of their abilities the teachings of the Lotus Sutra Buddhism with the doctrine and tools of Bodhisattva Nichiren. So my own study, and I love to study, made clear several points. For me, these were beginning insights for me. One, you can't study the Lotus Sutra effectively without a grasp of many previous sutras on which the scholarship, insights, and methodology of the Lotus is based. And that's the first problem with organizations, right? Whether they're secular or somehow imbued, this is across the board. It's not just Buddhism. These organizations tell you, oh, just study ours. Don't study theirs. It's wrong. It's bad. It's only ours is good. Okay, you know, the first question that comes up in my mind is, why is it so good? Right? Don't you want to look at the other guys just to see, oh, I see where the differences are. And then you can make your own decision on whether this understanding means is more meaningful to me. But now I know why. But people just are expected to blindly follow, and people blindly follow. So that's a problem for me. Secondly, the opening and closing sutras, right? The immeasurable meanings and the meditation on Bodhisattva universal worthy. They're bookends on the Lotus Sutra. And some groups, they don't even look at those. And to me, they're essential for the understanding of the presentation of the Lotus Sutra. So that's number two. One and two obviously mean study broadly, because it all helps our own individual paths to understanding self-realization. Namo myoho renge-kyo. Yeah? Far from taking you away from it. It's like I mentioned the Lankavatara about word attachment. I bring up the Vimalakirti all the time to demonstrate Shakyamuni told us about this land, this Buddha land versus this land. They're not different lands. You don't have to go anyplace. It's Buddhism is about the mind. How did I figure that out? Because I read other sutras and it became obvious. Certainly in the Perfection of Wisdom sutras. Yeah? All about the mind. How the mind works. This is Buddhism. And then with that information, you read the Lotus Sutra and you go, I really get that. But without that information, you're left wondering, not sure what it means. Study. Third, the tools and guidelines of Nichiren are essential to this era, this time of tremendous distractions. I mean, moment to moment to moment, and short attention spans. They kind of go together. We have so much information thrown at our heads all the time that it's hard to focus, right? All that information, monkey mind. All these monkeys screaming at us. So the question I answered earlier about single-mindedly contemplating Buddha, how to use the daimoku, the cheat sheet, to get, if you're going to have monkeys, adjust those monkeys to those seven thoughts and see if they don't quiet down and allow you to do what you need to do. Contemplate Buddha. Right? Those are tools Nichiren gave us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And fourth, something you might say is my pet peeve, but it was the final straw that got me started to put up a website, to put up information as a resource to share for how I was correcting and honing and developing my own thinking and practice. Yeah. The language of modern sound bites, as I said earlier, makes the ancient languages and consequent translations a minefield of misinterpretation and social cultural biases. They're in the translations. They obfuscate and twist the meaning of the sutras, sometimes intentionally. This is something I view deeply as a failure of the academic scholarship. The ego's involved there. Even if it's not meant to, people will talk in the terms they're familiar with. And sometimes, over time, those terms obfuscate the meaning. Look at the Langavatara. So, as I was already dedicated to excavating the truth from my research, my own research at different universities, online, so on and so forth, I began sharing my insights as I expanded and deepened my understanding of the teachings. I made a paradigm of forcing myself to research alternative views and published works to get the most complete picture of the teachings, right? Not be afraid of other opinions. Read them as they are. Then make a judgment, because the truth, if you're looking for meaning, it generally weaves its way out of the biases and so forth, but you have to be looking for it. All of this is to say that the Threefold Lotus Kun is my life and scholarship of my Buddhist independent practice as I pursue my best emulation of Nichiren. Nichiren is my sect. Nichiren is my school. Nichiren is my guidance counselor. Nichiren is my teacher. He provides me elucidation and insight into Shakyamuni's teaching of how to experience the Dharma. So I'm independent, but if you have to associate me with a school or a sect, who could it be other than Nichiren? I won't practice with anyone else's mandala. I will only practice with, albeit a digital copy, a Nichiren-inscribed mandala. That's who I'm following as my guide, and emulating his life course in every way I can think. Because of my earlier career in the sciences, this is a little aside, I adopted the moniker of quantum life Buddhism to marry the vast insights in the sciences to mirror or bear out the insights of Shakyamuni. I find this fascinating and more than a little validating. It's endlessly wonderful to me when I dig into the sciences as they develop recently, that they bear out what Shakyamuni was describing in his own way 3,000 years ago. That gives me another validation of this practice is so right on. So that's the history of how the Threefold Lotus Kun came to be. And this is why this is a resource, right? I'm not trying to create a mob. I'm not trying to grow my importance in the world. I'm just being a good emulator of Nichiren, as well as I can be anyway. So I'm sharing insights. I'm correcting language. Some of my old videos I probably need correcting as well. But I hopefully, as I keep making these videos and these podcast videos, whatever you call them, I will be more concise, be more direct, be more clear in the practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism. That's my goal, is to provide you guys with the best resource that I can offer to keep you resolved, to help your confidence, to answer your doubts, to keep us all practicing like Nichiren. Right? So in that regard, your little contribution, the little time it takes to like and subscribe, a few seconds, is very valuable to the machines at YouTube and Google to promote this site, to help us promote these teachings, this resource, yeah? Because the teaching happens in each one of us. We teach ourselves. We don't need a leader. We need to be our leader. But we need information to do that. We need the opportunity to decide, to decipher for ourselves. That's Nichiren. And Shakyamuni. Again, I'm going to say Lankavatara or Vimalakirti. Right? So that's why I'm doing all these lecture series on different books of the Lotus Sutra. I practice what I say what I do what I say. Sounds easy, but right? So thank you for listening. Like and subscribe. If you can support, buying ebooks or books or mandalas or just straight donations through Patreon and PayPal, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. All of us appreciate that because all that goes into my efforts to provide more, answer more, right? Just keep studying. So thank you for everyone. We all benefit from it, so thank you. And now that I've said all that, blah, 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 time to end this Q&A. Thank you for the questions. I'm sorry it took so long to talk about this. Seems like I should have talked about it earlier. As I have in videos, but now I have linkable answers. So that will help me respond to emails. Thanks again. Take care of your health. That's a kindness, right? Because if you're not healthy, the people around you can't be healthy. It's really obvious, isn't it? All right. Thanks again. I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.